This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome along, folks, to the next episode of Chewing the Cud. Today, we're going to look back at the Brighton game and look ahead to Saturday's match against Crystal Palace away. Speaking of away, Chris is away. He's in Prague at the moment. Looks lovely over there. So it's just myself, Colly, and Rich. Afternoon, lads.
How are you, boys? How are things?
Hey, lads. How's things?
All good, all good. Right, the Brighton game, Carl. We spoke last week about this. It seems to be like the way Dice is going to go. Let other teams have possession. As if, say, here, lads, try and break us down, do your best. But, geez, I think 80% possession is just too much to be given up to a team like Brighton.
Just saying no.
I know what you're going to say. I know, and people are said, throwing it back at me. Ah, but we nearly, except we didn't. But we didn't get a win. Sorry, Colly, go on. Sorry, go on.
You know, it took a scabby deflected, massive deflected goal.
Are you talking about our goal or theirs?
No, their goal, obviously.
Well, no, all right, well, sorry, I'll just shut up here now.
No,
listen, I'm only up out of bed. I'm dying with a cold, so apologies. I'm going to be a narky shit today.
I know what people are saying.
I hear Frankie Orlan saying, what's new?
I know what people are saying. 80% and we're only 20% possession. But, and yeah, the football's not great. Let's call a spade, you know. But it's working and it's effective for the team that we have. You know, with Deutsche Ball, it's commitment, it's hard work, and it's chasing after, you know, anything that moves on the pitch. Okay, it's not going to win certainly awards for, you know, how pretty it looks, but, you know, are we kind of... So did Deutsch ever play that type of football? One, and do we have the players to play an expansive type of football? And let's call a spade a spade. Like, we're up against a really, really good side in Brighton. And they brought on three really good subs, right? And yet again, we've been let down either by injuries or just the size of our squad. They were able to bring on three excellent subs, and they didn't even change the game when they brought on. You know, and it took, as I say, a scabby deflected goal over, obviously, Pickford's and into the back of the net. I get what people are saying, Joe, but you got to look over the course of the week. Out of three games, we conceded one goal in what, 270 minutes of football? Mm. You know, it's another point on the board. If you had given me 4 points before the start of West Ham last week, I would have took your hand off, Joe, to be honest with you. Look, I get what you're saying, Joe, and I wasn't there, and I'm sure you were over there, weren't you, Joe, for the game? Yeah. So I don't know what the crowd were saying in the stadium, but certainly on TV, it's not the most prettiest of football to watch, but at the moment, it's working for us, and it's effective.
Yeah, I get your point, but, like, Rich, again, I know he's going to go down this way, but let teams have, especially better football teams, let them. But I just feel that 80% is just, it's just too much because you're inviting them on. And listen, we'll get into the subs in a minute. But I just think, like, and the team news, Onana was a huge miss, I thought, because he just gets out with the ball. Morgana just sits there. He doesn't really get forward with the ball, but they're a different type of player. But I just felt that we gave them the point rather than them earning it.
I think they got lucky, to be honest. I know he's did it at 80%, but to me, I definitely see both sides of the argument. I thought we were very, very comfortable leaving him have the ball, you know. And you look at, that's one stat where you sit at 80%. But I mean, we had 10 shots against their 7. We 4 on target against their 2 in 80%. Mm. So we're obviously doing, our setup is, I won't say perfect, but it's near on perfect. I thought that they had, to run out of ideas, you know, and it took a stroke of luck from to get the goal. And I thought that we were comfortable, you know, and a lot of that 80%, it's over and back around the defense, and it's going. And yeah, look, they're a good side and they can hurt you, but you look at the other side of the coin where we had nearly 70% against Luton and got nothing out of it. So a lot of it is all on the day and say, right, what are we going to do? And we know we can't outpass these teams. We don't have the, you know, when we go to have to break down teams, we don't have that quality, you know, to be able to do that. So I think this is, I mean, yes, I totally agree, 80%. I think it's a lot more frustrating in the stadium as well. You know, when you're looking at it and saying, Jesus, would we ever get out of here? And we're just camped and it can be really, really tough. But looking at it from the outside, looking at it, we would look really, really comfortable. Our setup was really good. But I think on an odd day here and there, that's okay. But I think if you're looking at it over the course of the season, you know, it would start to get frustrating. But I think the bottom line is if you're getting points, you can look beyond it. And I think we all kind of understand where we are right now. And that's kind of saying, right, it's points. It's not about, we got to walk before we can run. And I think if we can get ourselves stable, get confidence by getting points against the likes of Brighton, then you can start to kind of maybe be a little bit more aggressive. But I don't think we don't have the ability to be able to do more. And even, let's say, the 20%, I think a lot of that is down to ourselves, because I thought we were poor on the ball a lot of times. We panicked, we gave it away. You know, we couldn't put a couple of passes together. I think that all plays into it, you know, but... Yeah, it looked poor on paper, but ultimately we were very, very comfortable, I thought.
Again, I'd have taken a point before the match. I really would. I just thought we gave it to them, like I said, and they didn't really earn it. We can get into a couple of positives actually before people start turning off. Well, it was a positive one, though. Mikulenko again, kind of thought he was excellent. He just really was. I thought he was again let down a little bit by Harrison, who had probably one of his poorest games since he joined us. But Mikulenko, we've done very, very well. And Scarborough is right foot. I know it was a deflection, but he took the goal well.
Yeah, and it's good to be talking about him in the right way, I suppose, Joe. Kind of last season, especially towards the end, he certainly didn't see in himself, or certainly didn't see, we didn't see the player that we potentially believe he could be. I do believe, though, I think I mentioned it last week on the pod, Joe, that he's been given a specific set of instructions. I agree with you in relation to Harrison. I don't think Harrison had his best game and left Mikulenko a little exposed, maybe. But I think Mikulenko's been given, you know, it's a new deal X, and once you do X, so I'm happy, and he's happy, Allah. From a defensive point of view, I think he's excellent. You know, he's some of the players he's marked out of the game. I still think they're trying to find Salah in his back pocket. But he has been excellent. And it's good to see the balance of the team, Joe. And again, it's what we've mentioned already in the podcast in previous episodes. The balance of the team is there. You have, a left full in the right position. You have a left centre-back playing the left side of the centre-back area. So, you know, that all contributes to it. Jamie Coleman played more minutes last night in the 1-0-21 win. I still think he's our best right full. So, yeah, positives, Joe. Absolutely positive. But getting back to Mikulenko, yeah, I think he's been excellent lately, and long may that continue. Hopefully now I'm sure he's gone away in international duty after the Palace game, and hopefully he doesn't pick up a niggly injury or anything like that, because, you know, kind of set him back. But yeah, he's been excellent in my mind, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that, like Colly said, spot on, Rich. Like, you just do your job. Just do your simple job, simply. I know it's easy for us to say, but defensively, he is good. He just seems to get a little bit lost sometimes. And then coupled with, like I said, not getting help from Harrison or something, we could be left a little bit open. But defensively, he's doing everything spot on.
Yeah, I think, he's a fullback. His strengths need to be defensively. I think he does benefit from having McNeil, because I think McNeil's work rate in front of him can be really, really good as well. So again, McNeil's ability to get up in front of him and say, right, that I'll do the running, all the running. It would be nice to kind of maybe overlap or underlap at some stage, and to just to give the option, maybe pull out a centre half or pull out a fullback and out of position. But I mean, he's just consistent. You know, he's kind of got to a level now where he's kind of, you know what you're getting out of him. And you know, look, I suppose long term or whatever way you want to look at it, he's not going to pull up trees and he's not going to be late in Baines Mark too. It's not his style. It's not his style, you know, but I think he's consistent. He's defending and he suits the style of football that we're playing at the minute. You know, I think Dyche probably works him where it's defensive minded. He can do that job. Colly mentioned about Salah as well, that, you know, if it's a man marking job or something like that as well, I think he's perfect for it. So, and it's confidence as well. You know, if you're getting a bit of a run in the team, you're getting, you know, you're performing well, you tend to stay going on it. So you just want to see him kind of keeping at that level now. But yeah, again, pity to have a break coming up again, because, you know, when you have players coming into form, you just want to keep playing games. But he's been really good and solid, consistent. And yeah, you just want to see him continue on it.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think you say, Colly, every week, if he can get 7 out of 10 week after week, that's kind of enough to keep your spot as well. I think the only person really that would put him under pressure is switching Ashley Young over there, but you don't really want to mess with, like you said, two left sided players on the left hand side. It just gives balance to the team. Just on Ashley Young, it was actually. Guys, the first half, right in front of us in the Gladys Street, it was like last year, summer wine. It was Ashley Young against James Milner. And I tell you, the two of them, Carl, weren't holding them back. They were just actually, like, lumping into each other. And it was great to see, like, old style. No, Milner was bitching and moaning, but it was just good old-fashioned two lads going at each other.
Yeah, and I actually put money on Ashley Young to be booked on Saturday when I seen him up against Mitoma. I was like, I think he was at 7-2 or 3-1. I was like, that's, you know, print of money that. But no, look, he's a servant. He knows the game inside out. Milner, for his, obviously his connections to those across the park.
Still, it was mentioned once or twice from the Gladys.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Putting that aside, like, you know, these players are experienced, Joe, and they know how to they know how to get around 90 minutes, you know. But you know, it's only a short term solution, both Milner and obviously Ashley Young for us. But I don't know whether I would prefer to see Patterson in, Joe. I'll be honest with you, I thought it was a bit unfair on Patterson. That's just, you know, Patterson's done really, really well against West Ham. You can understand, okay, Young was suspended for West Ham, bring him back in for the cup game, but I don't think, again, it's a personal thing, I don't think Patterson should have been dropped. I would have preferred Patterson up against Mitoma. Not saying he would have done any better, but I would have just preferred to see Patterson in there for me. But Patterson, unfortunately, found himself on the bench. Bench again, very, very light. Two goalkeepers, I don't understand that. I really don't, you know. Bring in one of the young lads, like
last minute dropout, though, is probably always going to be a keeper.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
when Anana dropped out late.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah, well, that would explain things all right. But again, it's not the first time we've had two keepers on the bench. You know, the kind of way, it's not ideal. Reverting back to what I've already said, Brighton are able to bring in, you know, really, really good Premiership players off the bench. And I think that's where the difference is at the moment, unfortunately, but let's hope we can change that.
Yeah. Just getting back to Young, which I thought, like, he done okay against Milner. I mean, like I said, two of them were just old-fashioned, but I have to say that just to watch this lad, Mitoma, up close, he's unbelievable. I mean, the movement, and he doesn't even drop the shoulder. And like same players the wrong way. He's just gone. Like he I know he starts down that side, but he just drifts all over the place. And he just seems to pop up in different positions. But I thought Ashley Young done very well against him and Bob Miller again. He was kind of left stranded a couple of times, 2-on-1. But again, he was unlucky with the goal, with the shot and deflection. But I thought Young did okay against Matoma.
Yeah, so did I, to be honest. I thought he did well for long periods of it. And then when you think he's 38, he played 90 minutes during the week, he probably should have been just pulled out after 65, 70 minutes or so and said, right here, look, you've done well. We need to keep the levels up. And I think that's kind of the error for me, not in selecting him, because you can argue that Toss kind of all day long, but it's a case of, right, you know, you've done your part, you need to keep the levels up, and you're never going to sustain it at that age. You know, the same way as they pulled Milner off after however long, it's a case of, right, you know, what can we do? And I suppose that goes back into the, I'm sure we talk about it, is Dyche's substitutions or lack of substitutions. You know, is it a case that he doesn't trust what's on the bench? And you know, it's limited. But if it's a case of you have a like for like, and when you're replacing Young, and I've been critical of Young kind of since he come in, I don't think he's had the impact that we thought he would, but I thought he was actually okay, especially when you're up against someone like Matoma. But you just think that over the course of 90 minutes, like it's tough going, and going back to being on the back foot for say 80% of possession, you know, when they're kind of putting that relentlessness on you or looking at it, it's mentally draining, it's physically draining, and it's just a right, you know, we need to do something here to freshen it up, and you have Patterson. And for me, I would have kind of gone the substitution that we did against Liverpool and put both Keane and Patterson in and taken out Harrison and Young and got five at the back and saying, right, we have what we hold. We're comfortable, let's just shut it down, you know, and do that with 10, 15 minutes to go. But yeah, it wasn't to be. But yeah, look, you can't blame me for the goal. It's just one of those free things. I thought Harrison got turned inside out a little bit too easy for it, you know. And I suppose I think Harrison has been effective since he come in, but always seems to be 100% gung ho. You know, and sometimes he commits himself a little bit too much in the sprint
looks a bit too eager.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought that kind of got him, he got turned inside out a little bit too easy on it. But again, tiring. You know, it's three games in a week, you know, and the body's starting to go a little bit. But yeah, I at that stage, I thought that we had kind of taken all their punches, like, and it was just such a freak, and it was a pity after holding out for so long to give away a shitty goal like that. But yeah, it's one of those, and I think that the Ashley Young thing, it'll probably be kind of over back for the season. But I do wonder about Patterson, because I thought after getting in against West Ham, maybe start him in the League Cup game, give him more minutes, and this is a chance to get him up to speed and to get him kind of up to the strength, whereas to see him drop out and to just be playing a couple of minutes here and there, it's difficult, you know.
Yeah, I think that the main thing to take away from the game, well, for me and then a few people in around the ground and back in the wind zone stuff, Collie, was that, like, I thought genuinely might like I said to start, I thought we gave them the point rather than them earning it, but Dyche not making subs till the 90th minute. I thought he hung the players out to dry. Really, really did. Because there was like four players on yellow cards. Three, like Young, like I said, he's 38. Not that he was struggling, but no, put some fresh legs in there. Gano's knackered. McNeil, he runs himself into the ground anyway. But like, to make substitutions in the 90th minute, coupled with making them when we have a corner, I thought he let the players and himself down badly.
It's the biggest thing for me that I'd be critical of Dyche about, Joe. This isn't the first game that he's done this.
No.
There was a few of them players were blowing out of their arse, Joe, 65, 70 minutes. You know, I would have put on, again, it's hearsay and it's great saying what you would do, but you know, surely if we could see, he's close up to the players, he can see it too, you know. Now, does it come down to trust? Does it come down that he doesn't trust the subs to come on to, you know, is he afraid then of losing the game? But if he puts on a sub, or I just felt in the round, particularly around the 70-minute mark, we had players that were struggling, Joe. I would have thrown on Beto. Probably would have thrown on Dan Juma as well, Joe, personally. It's the only thing I would have an issue with Dyche in his in-game management. I think his lack of substitution, should I say. that needs to be questioned, you know. Well, it is what it is. If it was just a one-off thing, you'd say, "Ah, well, look, you know." But this has been happening a few times this season already, Joe. You know, and you just wonder. And I'd certainly love to know what his thinking or reason is behind it. I don't know whether he's ever been asked that question, and if so, I'd love to know what the answer was. But yeah, his in-game management wouldn't be his strongest point to his management skill set. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was watching the bench. So I was shouting and screaming at the bench, saying, "Come on!" No, I won't say actually what I said at the match, but you can see Steve Stone and Ian Walt, like the three of them are yapping, and he's kind of waving at them, saying, "No, like he's asking for their voice, Rich, but he's not actually taking it." Now, but again, obviously you can't hear what's been said, and he's not going to come out and say it, but. Like to wait till the 90th minute, like I said, 80% went, they're all over us. Like from about 60 minutes on, they were just camped in our box and we were hoofing the ball out. There was nothing happening. So to just wait so long, it's frustration. And again, I keep going back. Or they're taking a point big time before the game, but it's just felt like a loss for the first half hour after the match, to be honest.
Yeah, I suppose when you concede, you know, when you're after holding on for so long, it feels like, and to concede so late, then it does feel like a defeat. And I suppose I've weighed up kind of right. For me, the Ashley Young one was an obvious substitution to make. After that, you're looking at it, and bar maybe Dan Hume, I thought Calvert-Lewin was excellent again. So you always kind of say, right, you take him off to protect him, but he was really, really good. But the time he took him off was a strange one when we had a corner. But apart from that, you know, when you're missing, say, the last couple of games, we had Gann on the bench to bring into midfielders. We didn't really have anyone to come into the middle there. So it was going to be a defensive, you know, and is it a case of, right, we have what we hold and they're doing okay. And as I go back to what I said earlier, we look comfortable, you know, and are you taking a risk by bringing in Patterson and saying, right, that he could be a bit gung-ho and lose our shape and then we concede on the break or something like that? And is that the mind frame? You know, for me, looking at it, I thought it was obvious that something needed to be done
Just fresh legs, simple as that.
But again, in hindsight, it's easy to say, you know, if that had deflected off a Young, gone over the bar and we'd have held on for 1-0, we would have said, you know what, got it bang on. So it's really, really, you know, because I suppose the thing is, three games in a week, you've a lot of players there who haven't done that in a while, you know, and big performances as well, you know, big effort in all the games. But with 20% possession, there's a lot of running off the ball, tankless running, and you can see the tanks are waning, and it's just freshening it up. And I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just trying to think what he's saying, you know. Yeah. And you think by looking at it and saying, right, that we did look comfortable, you know, in that aspect. And for me, it would have just been a defensive substitution to soak it up another bit and, you know, and try to see it out. But disappointed, because you just kind of say, right, we have the options. We have five options, even if it's kill a couple of minutes on the clock. But I think they had made three or four after 70 minutes. And that was the time to kind of say, right, we can counteract what they've done now. We know what they're going to try to do. And let's just try to stop it again. But yeah, it's a running thing. You know, I think previously we didn't have any real bench as such, whereas now there's a couple of options. I think it's the same few that are being turned to in Danjuma, Beto, Patterson. They're the ones that are being used. You know, I don't think Godfrey's got a run. Keane is limited. Dobbin, Chimiti, you know, they haven't played a whole lot. So I think the bench is really, really light at present as well.
Yeah, again, it just feels like a lost 2 points rather than a gained point for me. I just thought we let them away one, to be honest. But again, would have taken a point, as I think a lot of people would, taking a point beforehand.
I think the game changes if the referee does his job and we get a penalty there and we got to game over.
I'm actually sick and tired now of talking about refs. It's not just our match. You see across the weekend. Absolute the Arsenal game. Jesus Christ. I mean, I was watching it in the Windsor after the match, and like I know we're talking about everyone, but just that Arsenal incident or incidents, ball out play, slight offside. But even if they don't get them two, the the push on the defender, like anywhere else on the pitch, that's a free kick. So I just totally understand Arteta's like meltdown and rant. But I mean, it just something has to be like a conference somewhere or a get together, because the officiating is just, it's bog standard now. To say it's just ridiculous, and it's week after week after week. And I'm glad it's actually out in the main thing, because it's always us and people say, "Ah, shut up, wins," and you know, Everton fans, blah, blah. But some of the refereeing displays at Goodison, especially at Goodison this year, have been absolutely horrendous. So, and then to see these lads going around with FIFA badges on them, I don't know how the fuck to get them. Must buy them around the pound shop or something, because they're not earning them by the displays of refereeing or even VAR. I mean, it's how you can take 7-8 minutes to look at something and still come to the wrong decision. It's absolutely mind-boggling. It's going to blow up somewhere. It really is. Well, if it hasn't already, I can see Arteta being fined actually, but he's right. It has to be said. And again, fair play to Arsenal as a club coming out and backing up what he said. But yeah, the referee was shocking the other day. Just get so many things wrong. And he looked, actually, don't want to slag him, but he looked unfit, so far behind the game at times. And it was just, I don't know. It's an ongoing thing. It's not just a couple of games here and there. It's happening week after week after week. So, and we can't blame the ref on that, to be honest. We move on then. Again, point gained, I thought, lads.
I think 4 points, 2
are
really good.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're in good form. I just feel the game we're playing at the moment is like that. Everyone had possession. It can come back and bite us. Which I think that's what happened on Saturday. Because if we bring in fresh legs and have an out ball or a couple of out balls, even just kick it into the corner, I think we win that game. But it is what it is. Right, next one up. Collie, I know usually this is a tough away game, Palace away. They've been playing well the last couple of years since Roy has come back in, but they're kind of poor form at the moment. Only 2 wins and 8. Similar to Brighton, like you thought Brighton, even though they're high up the table. Brighton now after Everton's game have only 2 wins and 9, which isn't great form. So I'd be quietly confident going out here now, certainly.
I think Zaha has been a massive loss for them, Joe, to be honest with you. You know, he seemed to be the player that got them going. And certainly, I don't think we've had the fear going down to Palace. As you said, they're not on a good run of form. But it's these teams that will be in and around us come the end of the season. These are the ones that we need to be turning over, in my mind, Joe. And certainly on paper, we should be able to do that. We're in good form, as you said, going in. It's that 6 out of 8 now we've been unbeaten in. We're playing better away on the road than we have been. Certainly better away this season, picking up points that I didn't expect us to. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good game. I don't think you're going to see much difference between the way we played over the last few games and the way we play on Saturday against Palace. I think we'll sit in. I think obviously Palace being the home team, they'll come out and try and obviously on the front foot, which could help us, Joe, to be honest with you. I certainly don't think we've anything major to fear. Okay, they've one or two nice players. Don't know if they've injuries or whatever the case may be, but I think we should have enough to certainly get something out of the game on Saturday, Joe.
Yeah, I think there's always a good atmosphere down there, Rich, and the Palace crowd kind of keep the noise going, whatever. But I know Collie's just mentioned injuries there. One of their shine star players is Michael Alessi. He's out. So I know your man Oyu was playing well. Edward is coming kind of into form a little bit. But I'd be confident enough to get, not to lose, put it that way.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think playing away from home suits us, where you're not under, I suppose, we don't expect to have the ball happy to leave him have it and we're good on the break. But Palace are a strange one. You know, they seem to be kind of, you know, they go through kind of dips in form, but they always have been picking up just results here and there where they're, you know, they're up around mid-table, they're comfortable. I don't know what they are now, maybe 11th or 12th or so, but, you know, they just, they'll grind out.
I was just looking there, there's only 5 points between, like, six or seven teams. So it's like Collie said, these teams in or around us, we need to be picking up at least a point to keep us ticking over.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just looking at Palace's lineup there with a couple of injuries that they have, you know, that they're, Jesus, they seem to have the same 11 for I don't know how long, you know, that they haven't changed a great deal at all. But I think it's a perfect game for us coming in. I suppose before a break and on the back of a couple of good results as well, that given the way that they'll play, I think it'll suit us. Yes, they'll be hard to break down, you know, Hodgson's side, they'll be disciplined and everything. But I think, you know, I think Dom again is a game changer. We have a pretty good record against Palace of late as well, you know, and I think that's the standard. You know, I think Dom has been really, really good against Palace the last couple of years. So, I think it's a massive opportunity for us to kick on and to first of all, I suppose it's opening that gap up at the bottom, but start to claw in and to become part of that middle pack. And I think once the table settles and it starts to, you know, you end up kind of picking up the results that you need. And it's a case of winning these type of games that we should be capable of doing.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Just to keep well, two things. You're spot on. The gap, I think 6 points now, I think, between the bottom three. And like I said, there's 4 or 5 points between six or seven teams. So if we can just keep, just don't lose, I think, just to keep us in the mix to get into that, as they used to call it, mid-table mediocrity, which I'd absolutely snap your hand off for now. Right, we're getting into predictions. I know Chris is going down there, so he's gone for the, as Carly said, shock horror and Everton win. So Chris has gone for 2-1. Carly?
Don't think we'll lose, Joe, but I'm going to go for 2-0 to the Blues.
2-0 to the Blues. Okay, on the roll now, Rich. Don't be letting us down.
No, I'm going to go for negativity. I'm going to win as well. I kind of hate to be jinxing us when everyone is so confident, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go 2-1 as well. I just think that, I think form is good, confidence is good. You know, work rate was fantastic last week as well. And, you know, be a little bit of hurt there as well after conceding late. And I think we'll kind of go out and try to rectify that and get 3 points.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0. We've been very solid at the back. Maybe because we have 9 players back there. But, we've been kind of solid. And goals we're conceding, they're kind of unlucky kind of goals, you know, or late on or on the break. So I think, again, we spoke about it before, it's a great partnership there with Tarkovsky and Brantway. Mikulenko is starting to be solid enough. The only thing is he's still not sure of his right back. I'm just wondering, will Seamus come in after playing? No.
Played again last night, Joe.
Yeah.
Played again last night and done well, I believe.
I just wonder, I can't see Young playing again. So it's just a matter of whether Patterson goes in there or Seamus comes in. I think Patterson will be unlucky if he doesn't get in, because he's done very well against West Ham. Like you said earlier, Collie, very unlucky not to get a run of games, but just the right back position, that's the only, like, I'm not sure, he's not sure, so it's a strange one. I think we need someone in there for 5-6 games to make the jersey their own, if you know what I mean. And if whether it be Patterson or Coleman, I don't know. Anyway, I go for 2-0. Hopefully,
so
that's
we all
four of us
went for a win, so that means we're
going to
lose.
Yeah, that's it.
Usually,
the team was being positive. It's like the Luton game where we beat Brentford away, beat Villa away. This is it, Luton home. This is it, and then Everton just burst. You just can't get positive following this team. It's ridiculous.
Has there been an update on Onana for the weekend?
I didn't see anything at all, Rich. Didn't see anything. I didn't even know. I don't think they even came out and said what happened to him. So I don't know. I know he had a strapping on his hand week before.
I thought I read it, just trying to think back, that something wrong with his calf and he'd been playing through a bit of pain.
It was the calf, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully it's just a precautionary rest. Hi, boys, thanks very much for today. I'm off to Amsterdam for the weekend. The first ever European Evertonians get together is in Amsterdam this week. So we were going to have it tomorrow, but now we say we have Amsterdam instead.
Pretty good.
So looking forward to that bit of crack, and hopefully it win. Right, lads, talk to us next week. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the Toffees.